League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Monday after a late-night affair that saw your Rockets take down the king in his court. The Cavaliers went down hard. James Harden should be your MVP. And your Rockets are firmly in the third seed, and they, in their back pocket, have wins this year against the Warriors and Golden State, the Cavs at home, and they've beaten the Spurs. So, if you want to look at where your Rockets are, and I'm not going to say that, Barry, but I will say this, credit where credit is due. And again, the regular season, I was thinking about this last night, the regular season is totally different and separated from the playoffs, as I continue to say, but there is nothing in anybody's mind that should say James Harden does not deserve the MVP after last night's performance.
I agree. Can I start off with something non-sporty, though?
Don't we always?
Because it just happened.
Okay.
And then I promise you we'll come back. I promise you, but I have to ask your ruling on this. I have to know, because Nick, I want your opinion on this too, okay? I went in to use the restroom right before the show. My shoe was untied, and I didn't notice it until halfway through doing my business there at the urinal. Mm. And you know how filthy those floors are.
And you peed all over your own shoe?
No,
but
the lace was on the ground.
Oh, yeah, no. That means other people.
Yeah, well, I get it.
Peeing on his shoelace.
And so,
I thought Barry was just having a spritzer.
No. And so, do I burn the shoe? Because I feel like that's
not the shoe. Replace the shoelace.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Like the whole plastic is eaten off just from that little bit.
What I would do is I would make sure before any of the lace comes in contact, because they're good shoes. If the lace comes in contact with the shoe, then you worry about the shoe. But I think you just got to snip
until
you get home and get the laces.
Here's what I did. I backed out slowly once I finished, and I got a watch.
Can you just book that audio for me, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm totally going to ask you
that. I got a wad of paper towels dry and a wad of paper towels wet with soap. And basically, I won't show you the motion because you'll make fun of it, but basically just started at the base.
Can you just make sure you piece all of this together?
I started at the base and cleaned up. Like, cleaned from the base all the way to the tip of the lace.
Seriously, just let them keep going. But at the end, if you just do a little editing, this could be gold.
From the base to the tip with the wet paper towel. And then
were they balled up?
And then I dried it. Yeah. Because I wasn't going to touch it.
Right. So were there two balls?
No. It was just the paper towels. And then I
cleaned
those.
Right, the paper towels that were balled up.
I finished.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
Well, you're killing us. I want you to keep going.
But I'm trying to. So I feel like that's enough. Is that enough? Or do I need to do
it's
more?
It's soaked into the lace. At some point, I mean, here's the thing.
It's the worst.
If you're insistent on keeping with your
I have to because they're
theory.
Custom laces. I have to keep them. I can't cut these.
Okay. Then what you have to do is before you even take them out of the shoe, you're going to have to soak them in like rubbing alcohol or hydrogen peroxide to get to kill the germs.
That's a good point. All right, I can do that.
Then once that dries,
yeah.
Then you can take them out and wash them.
Okay.
And then you should be
in the
clear.
You think they'll fade?
No. Okay. Well, maybe just wash them in cold water.
Huh?
No. Oh. No, they shouldn't, okay. but I would wash them in
the
and then I'd wash them in cold water.
Them, right? The peroxide will bleach them. The rubbing alcohol shouldn't.
Yeah, peroxide takes blood out of carpeting, so I wouldn't. Yeah, on second thought, don't do the peroxide.
He's trying to get I'd be walking around looking like a weirdo. Not that I don't
I'm
already.
Trying, I mean, literally, if they're custom laces, then don't use the Proctite.
That's, the only thing I could think of was that's worse. I was at the mall this weekend shopping for new kicks. And at one point, I had to use the restroom. So I go, and you know, there's like you have the dividers between each of the urinals, right? And so once you step up and you're locked in and you're in the spot, if you look down, all you can really see sometimes is people's feet next to you. Like, you know, because sometimes some dudes spread wide. Like some dudes get a wide base. Some dudes get a wide base when they have to use it, right? Like, which is weird. It's usually fat guys that get a wider base.
Yeah, but I've seen. I know what you're talking.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, they spread out. Like they look like the evolution.
First of all, in this building, the guys across the hall, you think they're getting arrested because they not only spread out their feet, they spread out their arms. They look like they're being put up against the wall and prior to being cuffed.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. They look like the evolution chart guy. So there was this one guy there, and he had on flip flops, and I'm peeing, and I look down, I just see this nasty foot coming up under my divider. So I hate to say this, but I backed up a little bit and hit that right angle so that splash was just going everywhere, all over his foot. I didn't directly pee on it, but I just made sure that, you know, you know, you get that splash, and he was mid pee, so he couldn't move. So I was just like, and then he looked at me, and then I looked at him and was just like, what's up, man? I didn't know what was going on. It was so bad. But that's the only thing I can think of worse is being in flip-flops at the urinal. Cause I've done that where I've had my flip-flops and I'm peeing and I feel the splash on my feet. But someone else's pee, I would die right on the spot.
Essentially, the only difference between direct and indirect peeing on someone is the bounce.
Using the bounce.
Because it's the bounce off the urinal, the porcelain.
You call glass, you're good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow. But you know what? Stay in your lane, though. Stay in your space. Have you ever had that happen where you've used a urinal and flip-flops and you felt the splash
of yourself? I don't make a practice of using urinals with flip-flops. I don't wear flip-flops out in public a whole lot.
No?
Not to use the restroom.
Yeah. I will, if it's a single user bathroom, I'll go. Preferably to the toilet at that point. I won't use a urinal because the splash is a problem. But man, that would be the worst if you're standing there and you could feel someone else's urine on your foot.
Oh, that would not be good.
I would die. I would literally just start screaming and run out. Hooter out and everything. It'd be just like, whatever.
I wasn't working here. This was before I moved here. But one of the funny ones was we had a guy a little bit older, up in years, that worked in the office. And, you know, he was kind of awkward at times, but you just kind of forgave him because of the fact that he was a little older. And he was talking to one of the other interns, and they were in the bathroom, and they're like, what you're talking about? They're both at a stall, but there's no divider. I mean, they're both at urinals, right?
Right.
But they're having a conversation so that you don't look down.
Right. Yeah, focus.
The old guy decided to make his point and turned.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, and we're asking the young kid, did you go off on him, whatever? And he's like, yeah, it's so-and-so, so I couldn't do that.
Barry Warner.
I just had to ask my boss if I could go home and change.
It's Barry Warner. I'm not going to get mad.
Joel, when I'm making a point, Joel. Sometimes my chirp gets in the way, Joel.
Sorry about your pant bottoms. What are you doing, Barry? Oh, that's good
you
stuff.
Can clean them.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I got us off track, but Ron Wells said, thanks for ruining lunch, Barry. No, this is the trials and tribulations of being a man. These are things you go through, right? We would have started straight away with rockets because we even said back there at the, hey, we're hitting them with rockets. But then that happened and it really freaked me out. I just needed to get it off my chest and kind of know.
It's amazing, too, because we have the only restroom in this building that does not require a key. And some days I start thinking maybe it should, but I don't think it would stop the people that do what they do inside our restroom.
Yeah.
Because the people that bring their cell phones in that can every day and just start striking up conversation, I still can't get over the guy that when someone must have asked, are you in the bathroom? There's an echo. And he said, no, I'm in the car wash. I felt like coughing BS as loud as I could just because don't talk on the phone in the can.
Yeah, right? That's the worst. Stay off the phone in the restroom, period.
So we do have sports to talk about as well as other things, but we know that you want to talk about bracketology.
Yep.
As the brackets came out last night, Barry, as the screen says, Syracuse did not get in after I thought that after the Duke win they would get in. So I was wrong, and I'm willing to admit that.
All right. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I totally was not going to bring it up.
But no, you chastised me and then posted a link in our email just to goad me a little bit more. I totally was going to let it go.
But here's the thing, too. Did you see that Jim Boeheim?
He went off.
No, but did you see what he got? Oh, boy. He got a little taste of his own. Someone with a sense of humor made the pairings in the NIT. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
And we can get to that because it's actually rather funny. But, of course, the main topic on everybody's minds besides bracketology is the fact that your Rockets beat the Cavs. They are securely in the 3 seed. They have beaten the other 3 top teams in the NBA this year. And if our projections are correct, James Harden should definitely be the MVP. We have a whole lot to get to. Please feel free to join us, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You got The Usual Suspects. You got a Monday of a Monday through Friday gig that we enjoy bringing to you, and we love to see the tweets that are out there. And if you guys use Twitter, it's the most effective way to reach us because we actually will interact with you even outside of work time.
Yeah.
And we like the fact that you miss us, you like us, and you want us on more. We appreciate that. Nick was almost not with us today, by the way.
Was he?
Yeah.
What happened?
Nick had a late night last night, and before you get all excited thinking that Nick was on the prowl, Nick went to the Rockets game.
Well, I just left my laptop charger.
And he left his charger.
At Toyota Center, so I had to run over there.
So normally studiously early, on time and prepared, Nick Sciarra was scrambling today. We all kind of were.
It was literally like I found out it was missing literally right when I was on my way over here. And I'm like, why is my laptop about to die? And then I was like, let me just get my charger and charge it a little bit before I go to work. And I just could not
find
it.
Did you panic?
I did. Because I know those things are expensive.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to drop another, I don't know, 40, 50
Were you able
bucks.
To call to verify that they had it?
Well, I texted Jenny from the Houston Rockets. And
Jenny's so good.
Jenny from the block.
She grabbed it for me. So cool. That was greatly appreciated.
That's nice.
But yeah.
Just so we're clear, you mentioned the Twitter. And yeah, you should tweet the show. You should tweet us at Pac-Man Joel, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick. I got to say this, though. Last week, not really thrilled with the way the texting was.
You got a little fired up.
I got a little angry, and there's one dude who's already texted the show. That same guy has already texted the show today. Yes.
Oh, boy.
And I just want him to know, or her, whatever. It ends in 9729. I promise you, bro, I will never read your tweets. And I can look through all of them because it's just an inbox. I mean, text. I can look through all of them and see. So he literally just trolls. That's all he does. So, but my point is I feel like I read a lot of texts that probably don't add much to the conversation. So I think if you want to, I want to keep you guys involved, but y'all need to step it up a little bit. I feel like they're just mailing it in. Like, well, Barry will just read this text because he reads all the text. Like, I don't want to. So this week for sure, it's going to be a light week of texts. I may go back to the old way later, but you guys just need to step it up.
What people don't realize too is the sports books in Vegas, we have a wall in this studio that's digitized with numbers, and Barry uses that wall to isolate all phone numbers of all text messages that were heinous or had showed hatred to any one of the 3 of us, and they will flash whenever one of those texts come in. So therefore, what you need to do is, because we know you don't have a significant other, you just need to go to your boss when he's making the next foot long on wheat. And you need to make sure that you use his phone so that you can try and get a text that Barry will actually consider reading that will not get voided by the tote board.
Okay.
So we just want to make that clear. Twitter's a lot more fun. Plus, we can identify with you. So we can identify with you because we can identify you.
And I like when people sign the text. I think that's good.
Yeah, that helps.
You know what I mean? Like, that's
cool. I've tried to encourage it a few times, and some people do. Some people say who it is and where they're from.
Yeah, like Chill Clinton texted in a couple things asking questions. Scrooston always identifies himself. Of course, Scrooston always talks about cider, so I know when it's him. But, again, it's like last week when I don't mind – if you send in a good hate text with some constructive criticism in it, that's one thing.
Sure.
I'll read it, especially if it's mine. That's fine.
Especially if it's mine, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'll read it for any of us. But like, if we're going to make this show better, that's one way we could do that is better, more informative, more entertaining.
And we're not asking for you to go out of your way to critique us either. Let me make sure.
I don't care if you do. Just make it worth it. Make it worth it.
So do I dare say that was the most complete Rockets game of the year last night? I know the big, what was it, overtime in Golden State early in the season, that win on the road was very impressive. But when I look at all the statistics, and if I had told you before the game, Cavaliers are going to outshoot the Rockets 53% from the field to 43%. They're going to shoot better than the Rockets from three, 40% to 36%. And they're going to shoot better than them at the free throw line, 85% to 68%. I would have told you that the Cavs would have probably won that game.
Okay.
But when you look at the turnovers, which was the most impressive thing to me, was the turnovers and the offensive rebounds. Turnovers, just 6 for your Rockets. 15 for the Cavaliers. And the offensive rebounding was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
20-4.
That's insane.
Those are the kind of things that I've been wanting to see out of this team all season long. The fact that they were crashing the boards, especially on the offensive end, getting second chances. The thing that to me in watching that game last night start to finish was all the little things. We can look at a box score and we can analyze it left, right, top to bottom.
Yep.
Nene's effort on both ends of the floor.
Beverly's effort.
Fantastic. Yep. Beverly's, and he knew, what you're going to get from Pat.
Yep.
Sometimes you only worry about the fact he's going to be excessive. He's going to get a stupid foul here or there. And I thought he was going to do it with the one quick one he got on LeBron, where he was just beside himself, but he was just stupid, reaching and trying to body up chest to chest with LeBron.
Yeah, well, he was trying to get into LeBron's head, but LeBron was actually pretty good about not. He knew exactly.
And they're actually friends off the court, whereas most people aren't with Pat.
Okay.
So yeah, but I mean, overall though. You look at what they were, the little things, the intangible things. Nene for that second and third opportunities where he kept tipping balls and getting a piece of block shots. But I'll tell you what, that I was impressed. I came away impressed last night. And for a guy that disappears a lot during the playoffs and it takes a lot of criticism in the playoffs, last night solidified it for me. And you guys know I've said all along he should be the MVP of the regular season. But the only thing I worry about is a Sunday night game. But national TV, primetime stage, great opponent. James Harden
38-11
lived up
10.
To every bit of it.
38 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Here's why I'll say it wasn't the most complete game. It was very close, but they gave up 41 in the second. You can't do that and call it a complete game. And so, I mean, they came out in the third quarter and only gave up 19. But still, those 40-point quarters are going to come back to haunt them in the playoffs. They've got to be able to limit those. I mean, teams are going to go off on you. This is the Rockets team that's not a great defensive team. But you can't allow 40-point quarters. I mean, and the other part of that is if you look at Cleveland, it was the second night of a back-to-back.
Yep.
And Tyronn Lue even said he felt like his team came out okay to start the game. It looked like they were pretty tired in the second half. They only scored, 45 points in the second half?
Let's see. They had... 45.
So when you look at their first half where they scored, 67? So that's a big swing. Yes, some of the defense had a part to do with Rockets.
One thing we know about this team is they're not going to defend consistently.
Yeah, but one other thing, when we talk about offensive rebounds, and I thought Matt Bullard made a really good point on the broadcast last night when he said the Rockets are leading the game in offensive rebounds, but the fact that the Cavs are shooting over 50% from the field has a lot to do with limiting how many offensive rebounds you're going to get the better you shoot. Still, that said, and those are those are all just counterpoints. That said, it was, to borrow a phrase from my friend here, a phenomenal game for the Rockets. It absolutely was from start to finish. even if you take that second quarter into account, this team fought, they stayed active, and they hustled the entire game.
Well, and they persevered. They had a couple opportunities where they could have folded up their tents and gone home because it wasn't looking good for them, but they kept battling through. They kept battling through when they would go down 10 or whatever. You know, they were up early, then they would go down, and they instead of just going, oh, well, here goes LeBron and company, if Kyrie doesn't have the best handles in the NBA, then I don't know who does, because Kyrie was just sick last night. But at the same time, you look at it, you factor in what Barry said about the second half. They're tired. They're back-to-back. I don't want to make any excuses. That was as complete a game as I've seen from a team, simply because of the fact, from a defensive standpoint, you're never going to get a San Antonio-like complete team start-to-finish effort. Slip-ups within the game are going to happen. That's why you saw the Cavs go on those runs. Mm-hmm. But I liked the combinations. You saw a playoff rotation. Because Sam Decker played 5 minutes. He went eight deep otherwise. Essentially, for all intents and purposes, he went eight deep. Seven of the eight either scored eight or more. So you're looking at what your playoff rotation's probably going to look like, and it ain't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive rebounds stood out. That was a huge thing. And I think there was a stretch there where they literally hit the offensive glass like three, four, five times and still didn't get the basket. It was frustrating to watch, but I actually appreciated the hustle because you've never seen him hit the offensive glass like that. I mean, I felt like some of the Cavs players after the game were blaming it on the fact that it was long shots, so there were long rebounds, but they were really hustling for those rebounds. And then going back to, you know, persevering in the 41-point quarter, I mean, I think there was like two or three back-to-back mistakes that happened in the second quarter. 1 minute they're up 4 points, next thing you know they're down six, and that's the kind of team the Cleveland Cavaliers are. I mean, you make two quick mistakes, next thing you know you're down 6 points. And that's the reason why it was a pretty impressive win, in my opinion. I agree with Barry, I don't think it was the most complete game, but the fact that they persevered in the second quarter and bounced back from that 41-point game, but second quarter that the Cavs put on, I mean, I think that's impressive.
I'm not going to argue with you guys on that one. And I'm not going to, you know, say, well, what was a more complete game? What I am going to say, though, is I'm factoring in the opponent as well.
Yeah.
Because they played some really complete games against some lesser opponents. This, with all the other variables, the national TV, the Cavs, you know, everything about it, that's why I upped it a little bit.
The second half, their best half of the season.
Okay.
How about that? Without a doubt, I think this was their best half that they've played this year. And
Anderson at home making shots too is a nice little extra bonus when you're trying to win a big game.
Yeah. Huge. It was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was watching Anderson, and I was thinking he's starting to get more and more confident in this game. And maybe everybody just elevated the game because it is LeBron and it is the Cavs and they are in town. And the crowd was obviously louder because the Cavs were in town. No question.
Yeah, and I hate when they're cheering loud for the Cavs in that building.
They were.
I knew they were. All right, so we're going to step away for a second. Before we do, I just wanted to see if you guys noticed what I noticed too, which was when Harden sat out to start the fourth quarter, he left with a six-point lead. Within a matter of seconds, the Cavaliers were up three. The facial expressions, the body language, not good. And you know what? I liked it. A lot of people were critical of him, saying, well, that's not a team player. You know what? That's a guy that just wants to win and was upset, and I liked it. So let us know what you think. We'll see what you guys think after the break. And also, please, like I said, join us. Barry said the same thing. Tweet us. Call. We're here for you. You're always a part of the show. But the text messages, they got to get better, gang. That's all we're saying. It's on you, so step up. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text or call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. The usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
As always, getting a lot of great tweets early on. You people chiming in with a lot of good questions, a lot of good commentary. Nick and I were talking in the break, Barry. Harden getting fouled behind the three-point line is an intelligent play by James. And it's cagey, it's smart, but I'm afraid that it's going to get called less as we get closer to the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And the big thing that I was saying to Nick is, the rule states if you're in the gathering motion to shoot the ball, you're in the act of shooting, you'll go to the line. But if you look closely on the replays, he waits for the arm to be extended by the defender, and in most cases, it's his off arm, it's his right arm that's coming up underneath to get the contact on his way to try and gather to go up for the shot.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to a lot of defenders, but this is exactly the comparison I'll make is the Euro step that he was getting every single time when he led the league as he did the last 3 years. But I think it was 2 years ago or during the regular season, every time he Euro stepped, he was going to the line. Wow. And all of a sudden you started scratching your temple going,
right up
there
the
must have been yeah. a memo somewhere with officials and a film session, because all of a sudden at one point they just stopped calling it.
Yeah, and that's the fear when you get to the playoffs is they let you play. I mean, they're going to let you play a little more. There were some questionable calls last night where you saw Harden coming around a pick behind the three-point line. And late in the game, they called one. And if you looked close, he really didn't even get touched. It was a lot of, you know, flailing about like yep. he does and chunking the ball up. If you go back a couple of games to Chicago, he did that, and he wasn't getting some of those calls. And it resulted in air balls and turnovers because he would just throw the ball in the air expecting to get the call. So I think, yeah, he's got to be mindful of that when it comes to the playoffs, because they're not going to give you that call. It's got to be, like, legitimately and obviously a foul before they're calling.
Here's the other thing to factor into all that. He's got to stop stopping, too, assuming he's going to get that call, because that's when the Rockets get in trouble. If he goes up and there's contact and all of a sudden there's no whistle, he likes to stop and talk to the officials about the fact that he was fouled. And if the ball's loose and goes into a transition situation, he watches his teammates have to go 5-on-4. That'll get you in a lot of bad situations that can start a run in the playoffs. He's got to be careful about that as well.
Yeah, he might be able to get away with it against, like, smaller teams, but he can't do that against the elite teams like the Cavs or the Spurs for sure. But it is a part of his game.
Sure.
The way he talks to refs, he's like, look, man, watch how he hooked on my arm. Or watch, I mean, it's all part of the game, and it puts this mental picture in the official's head. Let me watch out for Harden the next time he shoots this three-pointer. He might be getting fouled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, listen, Joe Trevino texted and he said, hey, I love the show, guys. Need a laugh today to help with my depression, if you please. I don't know if this is funny or not, but I thought about this when I was watching the game last night.
Naked.
So, no, I was clothed.
Okay.
But, you know, and I mentioned it, I think, first or second segment when I talked about Pat Beverly as the heart of this team, and I started thinking about the anatomy of the Rockets, right? Like, if you think about it, Pat Beverly, and I agree, I don't remember who it was that said it, but yes, I definitely agree. Pat Beverly is the heartbeat of this team. He is their heart. As he goes, if he's out there fired up. But then I started thinking, okay, so what else is there? D'Antoni, he's definitely the brains of the team. Harden, obviously, is the face of the Rockets, right? I mean, plus the beard, but
yeah,
he's obviously
the beard and all. Absolutely.
He's obviously the face. Nene would be their muscle. Gordon, Williams, and Anderson, I guess, are like the genitals because they're just there to score. I don't know if that's... maybe Sam Decker is the appendix. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you don't have to have him. I mean, okay, it's there, but kind of useless. And I think Capella might be the anus. He's always doing the dirty work. Like, not in a bad way. He's always taking a pounding down low. I mean, it's not.
We need somebody to do the dirty work.
Well, but Montrezl Harrell's kind of in there, too, because they bring him in just for energy and dirty work. So maybe one's the sphincter and one's the colon. How about that?
Could be.
There
could
you go.
It could be the braids, maybe. I don't know. But I thought about that. I was like, that sounds like that's a good anatomy, right? Poor Capella. I wouldn't want to be, oh man, Beverly's our heart and Capella's our anus. But I think it's true. If you're doing the dirty work like he's expected to, that's, there you go. Gordon, Williams, and Anderson.
The genitals. That's what comes out of Sunday night viewing pleasure. You bring new meaning to viewing pleasure every time.
This is what I think about when I watch sports.
I would have never came up with the genitals for Ariza.
For scoring?
And yeah,
I would have
never
come up with that. That's their job is scoring, right?
Yeah. No, okay. I think the name fits. I'm just saying I would have never been able to come up with that.
Plus, that's you know, there's three of them, and you got Eric, you got Gordon and Lou Williams.
Yep.
You know, and then the bigger.
You're leaving James out because he does a lot of scoring, too, and he doesn't play a lot of D.
No. That's why he's not down there.
Okay.
No D.
All right.
All right, so there's the anatomy of the Rockets.
That depends on the porn star that writes the article.
I feel like I should get a picture of a body and put these everywhere and then tweet it out. I think I
feel like that'll go over like a fart in church, but you should try.
I feel like no Rocket would retweet that if I did it.
Probably not, especially Capella.
Especially
so, like,
Capella.
Jenny Dal Creech did a nice story on Pat Beverly yesterday, leading into the game last night. Pat Bev tweeted, great article, Jenny. Thanks so much. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think he would do the same.
No, he's not.
Even though he got the good part of it.
Beverly might. Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, you're right. I am the heart. I think it's all fine until, you know. But I think it's accurate. It's definitely accurate.
I could just see Nick coming back to work one day and going, Capella just grabbed me by the shoulder last night and said, Neek, who's this Barry?
I could see Bev doing that before Capella, though. Capella's too nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So I picked the right guy.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, he is, though. If you think about it, he's doing all the dirty work.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it.
He's taking a pounding down low.
It's more of a compliment.
Go with taking a pounding.
Down low.
Yeah.
Because it's the facts. I'm dealing only with facts here. That's it.
I backed out slowly once I finished.
See?
What did you say again? What was that?
Why did Barry sound like he had bass tones in that audio clip?
It sounds so similar when I played over the air. I guess sometimes like the listeners, they can't tell whether you actually said it. Yeah.
That sounded bassier.
All right.
It did?
Yeah. It really did. Okay. So we want to make sure that you're in agreement with us. We said all along, look, James Harden's our MVP. But I think last night solidified it. I think for all of the, if Westbrook averages a triple, and look, and here's the problem. Again, you guys watched the local broadcast, and I watched the ESPN broadcast, and they were still all over the fact that if Westbrook averages a triple-double for the year, he's going to win it. And that's why I was hopeful James on center stage on national TV would step up, and he definitely did that.
See, the vibe I'm starting to think that LeBron is getting pushed ahead of Westbrook before Harden. Like, I feel like the race right now is between Harden and LeBron more than Harden and Westbrook. That's just my personal thing.
Sorry.
Why are you laughing?
Because I thought of a spot for Montrezl Harrell. Okay. Because Nestor Carmona reminded me of it. Montrezl Harrell's kind of he's not really a power forward. He's not really a power forward, and he taint a center. He's the taint.
Got him.
All right, I'm done. That's Nestor Carmona, by the way.
You are giggly today, too. When you saw that Westminster Dog Show video and you couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, God. I got to tweet that out. You guys, it is the – you didn't see it, did you, Nick?
No, I didn't see it at all.
You just need to see Barry's – there should be a video of Barry watching that video.
Like a reaction video?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he couldn't stop.
He like a schoolgirl. But tell me it wasn't funny, Joel.
It was funny.
You watched it.
Yep.
This dog loses his mind at the what is it? It's the Westminster Dog Show. But it's the obstacle course. And this Jack Russell Terrier just like literally – like he's just hopped up on coke and shrooms and – Sherm and every and he just he's like, screw this obstacle course, yo, I'm running. And he just runs around and he trips over one of the bars and eats it and rolls forever. It's the funniest.
Yeah, you gotta retweet that,
dude. It's really good. I'm gonna tweet this out.
Shout out down in Galveston to the people at Galveston Country Club listening to us each and every day. My boy Dan Thielen and those guys down there sending out a message. They won't miss the show. Hopefully you won't miss it either. We're here Monday through Friday. We're gonna continue to roll on. We got more besides the Rockets. Got a lot of people coming out with some stories and a lot of hatred towards the Texans front office. And a lot of rumors going on around that. So obviously, if you're a Texans fan, you know that it's the weight game now. Regardless of what they're going to do at quarterback, that's one thing. But are you a little concerned that they're missing and losing valuable members of their defense? And they're not adding, they're subtracting. So we've got to get this equation to start going their way. We can talk about that. We can talk about the NCAAs, obviously, with all the bids out, all the matchups in, the play-in game set for Tuesday and Wednesday. Let us know what you want to know about the tournament and who you're picking. Vegas says the Dukies, a 5-1 pick to win it all. What says you? We are here till 4, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Maybe not. I knew she'd find a way to get over me, but I never thought she would get down with somebody I know.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's like Nick and his power cord. It's a breakup in a small town. but they're reunited and it feels so good. That's not Peaches and Herb. That's Sam Hunt. Sam Hunt taking the main stage tonight at Rodeo Houston. It's rodeo time, Houston. You guys should go. Want a great cure for the weekend hangover that is a Monday night? Well, for just $18, you see the best music, like Sam Hunt. You get rodeo action, shopping, dining, carnival fun. You know you can take the whole family to the carnival. Buy your tickets right now, rodeohouston.com. See Sam Hunt tonight and get tickets for the rest of the rodeo, which is still about two-plus weeks left to go. So plenty of action at the rodeo, rodeohouston.com. So during the break, Barry, I decided to grace our favorite facility outside of the actual offices. And, boy, I'll tell you what. We talk a lot about movies on this show, and you've got something that we've got to remind the listeners about because it's Monday. But the movie On Golden Pond might be refilmed right below the urinal in our – I can't even – you can't even stand there.
Yeah, my laces were in it.
The hygiene of people on this floor of the male persuasion, absolutely ridiculously bad.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that.
Pretty gross. We did get a text – that said, I got a question. Who's the cat lover there? I just did what you did on Friday night. Came home drunk, and my cat just made a mess with the trash and tipped it over in the kitchen. So I threw him in the garage, and now we haven't seen him since. And my kids are asking for him, but I don't think I'll. I know he won't be back because I've never been out. It's never been out in the neighborhood, and I'm sure it got out. So see, this is
okay.
This is what happens. I guess this is a thing when you get drunk, you just put your cat in the garage. Which sounds like a euphemism, but it's not. It's a thing. It's a thing. Trust me, that was literally one of the best texts to read so far.
I set this whole thing up for you, and I've teed it up for you.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Just so that you could tell people about what Mondays are and what we have coming up.
We started it last week at 2:30. It's Monday, and every Monday at 2:30, we have Monday Movie Moments with Trey. Last week we did Training Day. He reenacted a scene from Training Day. This week he'll be reenacting a scene from There Will Be Blood. And thanks to Michael Carroll, we'll have a brand spanking new introduction for this featured segment. So
awesome.
Look forward to that at 2:30. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We've got quite a few in the can already. We've got some more. You had some ideas for lists, so we've got plenty to work with here as long as Trey sticks around. As soon as he leaves, though, that's it. Segment's over. There goes that.
Yeah.
But we got to get like 10 to 15 in the books.
Barry, if you don't make them good, I'm not going to say the N-word, but I'm not going to be doing this crap much longer.
Yeah, we need to pay him.
And by the way, Granato and those guys, stop stealing our thunder.
We
made Trey a star long before. Everybody now thinks that, you know, it's the hip and cool thing to do. Well, guess what? We were hip and cool before hip and cool. So just slow your roll. How about that?
How about that?
Who's still in a lot more
trouble. A
little
protective of Trey, Joel.
I see that.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
But we're not going to let him be prostituted.
Although I will say this, when you start...
He might enjoy it.
Where Hill had him do those impressions and they were garbage. And now you're running that kid's stock. You can't do that. You got to keep the value.
Yeah, that video
high.
You mean? Yeah.
Oh, God. That was terrible. Not his best efforts.
No.
Although his...
Barry Warner.
His Barry Warner's
not
pretty
bad.
Good.
Although he didn't chirp at the end.
Pretty good.
If he would have finished it with a very hard-charging chirp, I think he would have...
How does Barry like either one of you, the way you guys hammer him so
Barry
much
loves
on
me. I'm like, he literally tells people that I'm a son to him.
I've never said two words to the dude.
He does not like that,
yeah.
By the way.
And you hammer him this much on the air?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, he's old. He's old. And I've listened to his shows before. It's not like, I mean, I don't have to know the guy personally. We don't have to go out and like, you know what I mean? We don't have to have coffee at the Walmart for me to know, you know.
I'm surprised Barry doesn't hate me. I did the worst thing ever to him.
What'd you do?
So one time I was
You got him a comb? What'd you do?
He's not going to use that on his head.
That's what I mean. The worst thing ever. Yeah. You buy him. I did that to my Latin teacher in high school.
To his beard.
I had my Latin teacher in high school was bald and he failed me on purpose. And I know for a fact that I should have gotten a B in the class because I cheated.
So you bought him a comb?
So I bought him a comb for Christmas and he was so mad that I got detention for that.
And like you knew you passed because you cheated.
Yeah, I totally did. Abigail, she was really smart. And I sat next to Abigail. And Abigail got a B in the class. And I'm like, bro, how did she get a B and I didn't? He was like, because you don't know Latin. I was like, I've copied off every one of her tests and homework. How do I not get the same? So then I got her tests and homework and got mine and compared them. And sure enough, he was marking stuff wrong on my tests and stuff that was right because he didn't like me. He got in trouble. He got fired the next year.
Really?
That's a fact. And then they were like, but you cheated, but you're right. He was just, if you didn't cheat, then we wouldn't have known that he was just giving you bad grades because he didn't like you.
Interesting.
That's and crazy. Also, you aren't going to graduate because you cheated. And I had to take a bunch of tests over
Did
again.
You admit to all that?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because.
They couldn't prove it?
Because I would rather have admitted that he cheated and get him in trouble and just retake the class.
Yeah, I would have taken a different approach, too. I've been like, man, so what? I'm a good test taker. I don't care.
No. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about there. And the fact that, you know, it was a cheap gift for a teacher, I wasn't thinking. I just got him a comb.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does with it. Maybe he gets some wax paper and he's got a kazoo.
No, I got him a comb because he was an a-hole and he was bald.
I like it.
I mean, he had a little.
I like your approach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't admit it to it.
He had a little bit of hair. Like he had a few wisps. It was like Homer Simpson up there.
Absolutely no use for the comb.
Absolutely
zero use. Yeah.
And he was so mad when he got it. I put it in a big box too, so he thought it was something else.
Wow, you went all out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Screw that dude. Yeah,
that's anyway. By the way, in
2 years I learned two words.
El Jefe, because I said my boy down in Galveston. I know El Jefe when you have friends that you understand that there are terms that you use. So my good friend is down in Galveston, but yeah. I don't know why that bothered you. But guess what? You won't be golfing with me and Barry and whoever I want to take down to Galveston Country Club to play complimentary. You can take the squad car to Top Golf and see if you can mooch off of someone in bin number 4.
By the way, Lenny said, tell your listener to put the litter box outside. His cat will smell it. His cat will smell it and return home.
Is that why you were asking me about golf? Because you're going to go play free?
No, first of all, that's what I do. But second of all, the fact that, Barry plays golf, and I wasn't aware
free
of that.
Drinks?
And if you played golf, too, that would be a great
free
like,
drinks?
If we ever wanted to do, like, a brainstorming session where you just get away so we don't have to deal with, like, the crossfire we dealt with today, God. Just get out on the golf course, no one bothers you, and you have fun while you slap the white ball around.
Can we get free drinks?
That's a euphemism.
Yeah, I know it was. I kind of thought I'd add to your opening monologue. But I don't know about the free drinks, but... Since my
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done. I was going to say, I play golf if there's free drinks.
Yeah. You know what? So you've never swung a club in
your
life?
No, I have. I've played golf before.
Okay.
I'm not a big
You're not a big golf I mean, guy. I'm not good.
I enjoy playing at Top Golf. I mean, that's a free plug for me. Yeah, I really enjoy playing there. But
I'm not great. In my heyday, I shot like an 86. So if you get me under 100, you're getting a good day out of me. But I'm not up there.
Oh, I just got another message. Barry,
I know
you're
what's
not
going on. You know what I mean? Gee.
And I got another message. Nick, they'll buy the first round of drinks.
I shouldn't have gave my scores out. That's immediately you're getting messages that I'm not welcome when I shoot 100 and all of a sudden I can't play now.
Anybody nicknamed Danny the Divot is not welcome on their course when they have pristine grass.
Old Scratch Joel over here.
I wouldn't go scratch.
Maybe a 6. You're good. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I got to get back out there. All right, so we got plenty more show to go. Lots to get to. The Texans have lost quite a few, including one that you wanted to get rid of. But what have they really gained? And will they start gaining soon? Those are questions that need to be asked. Now there's word of a scuffle that took place late in the season between Billy O and Brock. Does it matter? Do you care? Things that we can get to. Also, again, bracketology is in full effect as we're getting close to the play-in games. And then full-blown madness Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one of the greatest extended weekends of the year when you're talking sports. So we got plenty to get to, questions to be answered. If you guys want to get in on the show, again, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.